Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise God in deep. Hope everyone is doing well, having a wonderful week, getting ready for a big Christmas, and want to welcome our travelers, the other part of our family that lives up in the, that's right, good to see y'all, Ohio, right? That's right, I was going to say it wrong, I didn't want to say it out loud. Praise God, glad y'all get to be with us tonight. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. For all you watching online, welcome. Merry Christmas. Welcome to First Pentecostal in Villa Rica to our Wednesday night service. God is great, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Does anyone on my right side have a spoken prayer request tonight? Go ahead, Sister Brenda. Oh, good, good. Unspoken, absolutely. Anyone else on my right side tonight? Anyone on the left side have a spoken prayer request tonight? Brother Keith, go ahead. Absolutely. Absolutely. Sister Linda? Absolutely. We'll definitely lift her up to the Lord. Any other spoken prayer requests at congregation? I don't want to miss anyone. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Miss Tabitha. Yes. Yes. Anyone up on the cross?
Continue to remember my family.
Your family. Penny and Kevin, yes. My wife, Elaine. I know there's others that we've mentioned tonight. There's so many others that are sick and need a touch from the Lord. And, you know, God is great. And he knows exactly what we need. And we're just going to pray in his mighty name, all righty? Y'all will, let's just all pray together. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, dear Lord, we just praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you for your love, your mercy, and grace, dear Lord, for the blessings that you bestowed upon each and every one of us. Dear Lord, as we're together tonight, dear Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord. Dear Lord, as we come to you, dear Lord, right now, together in one mind, Lord, we're praying for the needs of each and every situation that's been spoken tonight. Dear Lord, we know that you're greater than COVID. Lord, we know that you've conquered pneumonia, dear Lord, and cancer, all the other situations going forth. Those that are at home sick, dear Lord, we ask for you to touch each and every one, those in the nursing homes, assisted living. Dear Lord, we just ask for you to strengthen and guide and protect each and every one of them. Lord, let them feel your holy presence, dear Lord. Lord, give them that touch that only you can give. Dear Lord, we just love and praise you. Dear Lord, we thank you again for allowing us the opportunity to come directly to the throne of grace, dear Lord. We just love you. We just praise your holy name. Dear Lord, again, as we stand here tonight, dear Lord, we pray for each and every situation, whether it be in the prayer box, those in our text blast, those that are watching now on live or at a later date, dear Lord, and their prayer request, dear Lord, we know that you can reach out, dear Lord, from one end of the earth to the other. Dear Lord, we just praise you. Lord, we ask for your touch and your healing. And, dear Lord, we ask for your strengthening. Dear Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. I also didn't mention my son, Stephen. He was also sick, at home sick. So while we're standing, let's all just turn. I know we did this song the other night. Turn to page 408, Joy to the World. I guess for me, you know, people say the reason for the season. People say there's so many things, but for us to truthfully know and have that close relationship with God and through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, there's joy. in every corner of this earth. And I'd just like to sing it again tonight. Y'all help me. Y'all, I need y'all's voices just to ring out. Let's just lift up the Lord. Let's honor Him and just sing His praise. Joy to the world. Turn around and give somebody a wave and just tell them how much Jesus loves them. Yes, praise God. You know, as I was saying earlier, and I was thinking about this, even in this song, as it talks about joy to the world. And you know, there's nothing wrong. The manger scene, the pure Lamb of God that was born. But also, He's the King. The King of kings, the Lord of lords. Yes. At the same time as Christmas, we celebrate. And it's, you know, the manger scene, we see it, you know, just so humbly born in a manger, in a stable. But this is the King of all. And I know so many times we think of a hero's march coming in. You know, you can see the conquering kings, even at that time, you know, from the history of King David coming back from battle or the armies coming back and being victorious. But when this king came, so humbly came as a child. God, manifest in flesh, came to live for you and I and to prepare this way. We just praise God. I don't know. I just really love the Lord right now. And I will always love the Lord. But I mean, there's times, you know, you kind of get those chills and those goosebumps and just know God is God. And we just praise His holy name. Praise God. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. Let's go ahead. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord to bless our offering, please? Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you.
use anything.
Strong.
precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was His own.
Mountains and
Kenny's getting ready just to testimony. I just want to praise God in the times that, as this song said, it is purposely, I think it was meant for me tonight to hear that. As I was talking about joy to the world and just being rejoiceful. But there are times those struggles seem are so real and they seem so heavy and it's burdensome. It's almost like it weights you down. And I had an opportunity this morning. I was making the Run Get Sprites ginger ale to drop off at my son's house and all that stuff he needed this morning. I was in a hurry. I had things at work I had to get done. But, you know, you do it for your family. That's what families do. And I was just thinking, I got to get all this done. I was just running around acting like I knew what I was doing. This gentleman just asked me out of the blue. He just said, "You ready for Christmas?" I said, "I'm always ready for Christmas." Like that, we started talking. He said, "Yeah, I'm trying, but it's been a hard year." And so, of course, we stopped and talked. And my hustles and bustles, my little life means nothing. But he had lost his wife in March and was talking about how she was the keystone to their family. And the kids have gone in many, many directions. And he'd like to get them all back together. Gave us an opportunity to talk about God for a minute. And know that through it all, God's still in charge. There's testimonies everywhere of how great God is and all the many things that he's done. But if we don't do anything, it's just slow down and know that through it all, as long as we've got Jesus in us, not on us as much, that's true too, but in us, we've received him as our Lord and Savior. And know how much we're loved. And that's what it's all about. So praise God. Praise God.
God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Such beautiful songs tonight. Amen. So powerful. The words are just so very meaningful. And through it all, you know, I was thinking, as Sister Jennifer was singing that song so wonderfully, I don't know who the author was, but evidently he had experienced something to be able to pen those words, such trust and faith in the Lord and in his word. It's continuously saying that learned. To trust in his word. Unfortunately, sometimes the learning process is a hard process. You know, that's when we seemingly learn the most, when we're most dependent on God and on his spirit to lift us up and encourage us. So I don't know what that author went through, but I would imagine something in life was very unpleasant, some trials, some tribulations, whatever the case was, to make him be able to write. I know that Thomas Dorsey, a native of here of Villarica, wrote many, many songs, and one of the songs that he wrote was "Take My Hand, Precious Lord," and I think that was after the passing of his wife, and he wrote that beautiful, beautiful song, and "Precious Lord," and how many knows that no matter what you face, no matter what you go through, the Lord will always be there to lift you up. Amen. It's good to know the Lord, isn't it? It's good to have him inside, as Brother Jim said. Amen. Praise the Lord. You have your Bibles tonight. Go with us to the book of St. Matthew in the 5th chapter. I'm going to read just verses 17 through 20. St. Matthew, chapter number 5, verses 17 through 20. An excerpt and a part of the so-called Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said in verse 17, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how grateful we are, God, for your many blessings, for your spirit, and for your anointing. For those who have gathered here tonight, and Father, I pray, God, that you would just bless each and every need tonight. God, just send your power down. Lord, I pray, God, that you would touch and bless those who are sick, afflicted, those who need a touch from you tonight. God, those in the hospitals, the nursing homes, those that are sick and shut in. Reach out, Lord, right now and minister healing to them. Father, I pray tonight, God, that you would use this vessel. God, just speak through us tonight, that you would have us to hear, that we might be submissive and obedient to your will. And Father, we'll look to you to give you all the praise, all the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If you love the Lord, let him know it with a hand clap of praise. You may be seated. Amen. Well, I believe it was David said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. I've never, ever sad come into the house of the Lord. I always am blessed. I'm always, no matter what I've gone through the week or the day, it's always comforting to know that we can come into the house of the Lord, gather with saints of God, and pray one for another. Tonight, I want to spend just a little while on a title in Fulfilling the Law. Fulfilling the Law. Jesus spoke some very profound words. Well, all of his words were profound, but in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, he goes back, and at the very beginning, he goes up into a mountain, and he is thronged with a multitude of people, including his disciples, and he takes this opportunity to begin to teach them. You know, Jesus never did anything without a purpose. Everything that he did on this earth, he had a purpose. Every word that he spoke, there was a reasoning behind it. And it's amazing how much he was able to accomplish, how many people he was able to touch, how many lives he was able to change in just a short time of his ministry. But here we find, and he begins with, blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And he goes on and goes on to say, blessed even when you're persecuted. And all of these blessings are somewhat, if you look at it, he sort of kind of has a break in his subject matter. And he turns to this, and he all of a sudden he says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. And the reason he did that in this multitude there were some scribes and Pharisees. They were not listening intently to Jesus to be touched or ministered to. They were listening to see if they could trip him up or find some reason to falsely accuse him, because they were not proponents of his message or even believed that he was the Messiah or the Christ. So Jesus took this opportunity to begin to tell them, and he often, and in verse 20, he tells them, he says, you know, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. The scribes and Pharisees were very steeped in Jewish tradition, very strict to the law, but lacking in spirituality, lacking in compassion, lacking in a love for humanity. And it had really gotten out of hand. And they were very strict about one thing. One thing, you know, when the disciples and Jesus were walking through the corn, and some of the disciples picked the corn, it was on the Sabbath, and began to eat. And, you know, the scribes was quick to point out in the Pharisees, said, you did that with unwashed hands. And everything that Jesus did, they were constantly watching him to see what he was doing, how that he might not fulfill the law or not might not do, continue the law. But Jesus was very, very strict in telling them, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. Now I want to go to the book of St. Luke, one that we just read this past Sunday, one that is traditionally read during the Christmas season. And normally we end around verse 20 where it says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Many times that is the conclusion or the end of the passage that is read during a Christmas story. And certainly that is a wonderful and a great and a miraculous birth, and we all are blessed by the fact that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was born on that night in Bethlehem according to prophecy. But something very important happened immediately after that. In fact, just a few days after that. Something that we Bible readers and we born-again Christians need to really understand. Just as important, and I mentioned this Sunday, I believe, or just as important as the birth of Christ was the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ as well. And he was doing that lets us know that he did come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. Let's look at verse number 21 in that second chapter of the book of St. Luke. The writer says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. At 8 days, Joseph and Mary saw it necessary to take him unto the temple for the circumcision and the dedication, which was Jewish customs, which was ordained by the Mosaic law, which Jesus Christ himself, even though he was only 8 days old, his parents here on this earth, saw the necessity to go and do what any Jewish child of that birth or that age would do. And he said in verse number 22, and when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So if you go back, the Jewish custom was the purification of the mother and then the time of waiting for the child. Then they go for the circumcision, and then they go for the dedication of the child unto the Lord, which we still practice today when we dedicate our children unto the Lord. As it is written in the law, again, all of this is according to the law, letting us know that Jesus was, in fact, fulfilling the law, not as the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees pointed out. They thought he was tearing up or destroying the law, when in actuality, God was fulfilling it through Jesus Christ. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice, verse 24 just really, really stood out to me. And I want you to see if you catch this tonight. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons are to be sacrificed. I immediately thought of the 12 days of Christmas and the two turtle doves. And it was Jewish custom to take the male child that was born and offer a sacrifice unto the Lord. Now, all of this seems tradition and seems routine, except for the fact that everything that they are doing, even though Jesus is the Son of God, they're still fulfilling the law of Moses and still holding fast the tradition of those prior to him. So they could not give the Pharisees or the Sadducees or even the scribes, who were so strict on the law, could not find anything in error to what Jesus and his family was doing. And I want to flip to Luke, the third chapter right quick. Again, I thought this when I looked at this. A pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons were sacrificed at Jesus' birth. Now, later on, in verse number 21, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended, how? In a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. I do not think that was by coincidence. I don't think that just happened. I think all of that was part of the plan of God. Even the giving of the sacrifice of the two turtle doves or the young pigeons. And then as Jesus was baptized, the form of God came down, or the Holy Ghost came down in the form of a dove. And you Bible readers, what was the bird that came back out of the ark when land was finally reached with an olive branch in its mouth? It was a dove. And I thought that was so wonderful that God chose to do all of that and symbolic of the turtle doves that was offered and a sacrifice on behalf of Jesus Christ, who was born, who in fact later on would in fact become the sacrificial lamb for all of mankind. So now let's go back to St. Luke 2 and 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, again, the rituals of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said. Now, Simeon had never laid eyes on Jesus before. I don't know if he even knew Mary or Joseph. But immediately when the child was brought in, the Holy Ghost moved on this priest, and he immediately recognized Jesus as being the Messiah. The shepherds knew something about it. The wise men followed the star and knew that there was something special about the Christ child. But the Holy Ghost moved on this priest to know that he had never seen him before. But the moment he saw him and he took him in his arms, he blessed God because he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. So it's remarkable, not only the birth of Jesus Christ, but immediately what happened after the birth of Jesus Christ, and basically that even the priest there knew that this was the Messiah. There's two things that were in the law that were still required and still required today. Sacrifice. How many remembers that almost every time in the Bible, the priest would sacrifice, and then, you know, even some of the great patriarchs, Abraham was at the point of sacrificing his own son until the angel stayed his arm and told him he just wanted to know if he would be obedient unto the Lord. But in every sinful nature, there was always a sacrifice, and it got so out of hand that people were just sinning and just offered every kind of sacrifice. But there still had to be sacrifice, and there had to be bloodshed. Blood has never changed. Jesus did not come to do away with the blood. He came to fulfill the law, which is the blood. So Jesus Christ himself became the sacrificial lamb. Up until that time, it had to be a lamb without spot or without blemish. In fact, certain sacrifices required maybe lesser animals, like the turtle doves or the pigeons. If you will recall, this was what was going on in the temple, in the chapel. It was not so much that the sacrifice was being offered. It was because they were making so much money selling these animals and all as the people were coming in to make the sacrifice. So Jesus himself went in and turned the tables over and said, you turned my house, the house of the Lord, into a den of thieves, basically, because they were making money and merchandising on selling of the sacrifice. But they had to be a sacrifice, and there had to be blood. That part has never changed. That is over in the Old Testament. A lot of people today think that the Old Testament is completely unnecessary because Jesus Christ came, and because we now are living in the dispensation of grace. But I beg to differ. Jesus did come not to do away with the Old Testament whatsoever, but he came to fulfill the Old Testament. He came, amen, to be the sacrificial lamb and the one who gave his blood so that you and I could be saved. Isn't it wonderful to know that we don't have to take animals to the temple and have a priest go through a ceremony and offer them up to sacrifice to the Lord, because he died once for all. That blood that Jesus Christ spilled on the cross of Calvary is more than sufficient enough, amen, to wash away the sins of the humanity, if in fact we'll come to an altar of repentance and ask Jesus Christ. We have to have his forgiveness. We have to repent and have to ask the blood of Jesus Christ to be applied to our life. So Jesus became both. He became the sacrifice, and he also shed the blood that was for the remission of our sins. And then he said, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. We know that the salvation now lies in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're so thankful for that. Again, Jesus said, I came to fulfill it. Understand that in 3.5 years, and that's another thing that Jesus did. He waited until he turned 30 years old before he began his ministry. That was Jewish custom. And everything in the Old Testament, all the prophecies point to what Jesus Christ was, the Son of God. And robed in flesh, he had to have flesh because a spirit cannot shed blood. So everything that the Old Testament was talking about is a prelude to what happened in the New Testament. So therefore, we cannot say, well, we don't have to read the Old Testament, or we don't have to go by the Old Testament, because Jesus came and completed the work. He came and made the work complete. He became the mediator, the go-between us and the Lord. Amen. And I'm so thankful. You know, if in fact today, if you are ever accused of anything, and you must stand before a judge. And if it's always good to know that you can have a lawyer or an attorney there to stand there with you, because they can stand there on your behalf. How many knows that when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we have a mediator? Amen. We know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the DNA, that's the wonderful thing, the DNA, because his blood has been transformed into our body. That's what basically grace is all about. Because if we were left up to our own works, if we're left up to our own beings, none of us could ever be good enough. None of us could ever be holy enough. And God knew that. That's the reason he gave his son. And even the name Jesus was already given to Mary by the angel. So everything that was done and said, you know, it didn't just end when the shepherds returned glorifying God. That, in fact, was basically the beginning of a transformation of the power of God, and being able to send back the Comforter as Jesus went up and ascended into heaven. He said, I won't leave you comfortless. And how many is thankful for that? You know, he told the disciples constantly that he would not always be with them. He even told them about the temple. You tear it down in 3 days and he will build it back. And they thought he was talking about the stones of the temple, when in fact he was prophesying about his own death. After the third day, he would arise and he would be with each and every one of them again, not in the form of flesh, but in the form of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God that dwells within mankind. And I'm so thankful for that. I am so dependent on the Spirit of the Lord. And it's good to know that there's not a day that goes by, amen, that I can't depend on the Spirit of the Lord that is within me. So thank you, Jesus, for being born. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross as well. Thank you so very much. And let us remember that. And when we do, it makes Christmas even more special to know that that little sacrificial lamb was born that night in that terrible surroundings. There's an adaptation. I won't call it a song. It's more of a recitation that they've been playing on 93.3. And it's a man and woman talking, and they're talking about the ride. And, you know, we sometimes make it ceremonial. We make it almost like a fairy tale with happy endings and just, you know, the little stables that are built and the depiction of the manger and all of that. And it looks real, real neat, when in fact history tells us that that was the farthest thing from being the truth. First of all, Bethlehem was just the multitude of people that were there. That's the reason there were no room in the inn. The inn was completely full. And the little stable that they was in, if you think about it, the people, the transportation they had was on donkeys and animals and things like that. So even the stable probably was filled, overflooded with animals. And they went on to say that the stench was probably unbearable, you know, and the noise that was there, but yet that was where God chose for Jesus to be born. They had no midwife. They had nobody to depend on. It was just Joseph and Mary. They probably, the only blanket he had was probably the coat or the cloak that Joseph had. So, when you think about the reality, he was born in some pretty bad situations. But out of that grew the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the great I Am. And I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ went through all of that for us. So remember the Christmas story, but also remember the birth and the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a great and wonderful sacrifice, because we don't have to offer up that sacrifice anymore. We don't have to go and take a goat or a lamb and kill it and spread the blood, because Jesus Christ shed his blood so that you and I could be saved. God bless you. We love you tonight. Appreciate you coming out. I know our Wednesday crowd is very, very small. And maybe after all of this flu season and everything is over and the weather sort of straightens out, people will start coming out and being with us a little bit more. But we thank you for coming and being here tonight. We pray that God will just bless each and every one of you. And I do want to make the announcement that this Sunday we will only have Sunday morning service. Sunday school and worship service will be as usual, but there'll be no Sunday night service. I know a lot of people will be still having family gatherings and probably a little tired from all of the festivities and all the things. So we're going to take that time and let you spend that with your family. So if We don't see you again before Christmas. We hope you have a very Merry Christmas. It's a safe and happy Christmas, and hopefully all will be well. And for those who are in need of prayer tonight, let's keep them in our prayers. If you would stand tonight, we'll give you an opportunity. If you're here tonight and you need prayer, please come forward, and we'll pray. Thank you for coming out tonight. Just appreciate each and every one of you. Brother Jim, if you'd come tonight and dismiss us with a word of prayer. Do keep those who are sick in your prayers, that God would touch them.
Yes, amen. Praise God. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. I love the way the Lord just puts the whole service together. And how great His Word is. So all hearts and minds clear. Well, with this prayer, we're going to be dismissed. And let's remember those, as Brother Eddie said. Let's remember those we've prayed for already. I know we've already given it to God, and there's a lot of other names. It's hard to mention them all, but God knows each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, again, thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us to gather in your name. Lord, and for your word to be read, dear Lord, we just praise you. Lord, we want to lift you up and honor you with everything that we are and everything that we do. Dear Lord, through these festivities as we come and close in on Christmas, dear Lord, we ask that you'll be each and every one of us, our families, our friends, Lord, those that we come in contact with. Dear Lord, may we all have that joy, that spirit that you've given each and every one of us, dear Lord, that we may share your love and that peace. And, dear Lord, we just thank you, dear Lord, and we just praise your holy name. And, dear Lord, keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time. Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Merry Christmas, each and every one of you. Merry Christmas.